This is a conversation with Gene Whitcomb, CEO of RiskConnect, who is reshaping how organizations approach risk in an increasingly complex world. Gene shared how AI is transforming modern risk management, from reducing incident handling time by 60% to enabling faster, smarter decisions across the enterprise. I loved how he emphasized the balance risk leaders need today, leveraging powerful technology while staying grounded in data literacy, financial skills, and responsible governance. Very nice to meet you, Jim. Thank you very much for joining the Humans and AI podcast. So, Jim, I would like to understand your mission. You said that your mission is to help organizations answer the question, how at risk are we? Would you mind to share a little bit more in depth?
Sure. RiskConnect is a integrated software solution focused on connected risk, this idea of breaking down the silos of risks that exist inside of an organization, both in terms of how the different areas of an organization see, perceive, and manage risk, but then also outside the enterprise. And you can take a simple risk like a cyber event, and in isolation, a CISO is worried about the defense perimeter and cyber controls in these aspects. But at the same time, if it's impacting a third-party logistics provider, it's a third-party threat. At the same time, that might impact consumers in terms of deliverability of their inventory based upon supply chain disruption. That impacts financial risk as it relates to maybe regulatory controls or financial requirements. Very quickly, all of these parties inside an organization need to understand and manage this risk holistically and together, and they have a hard time doing that. And we provide technology that brings that picture together and then gives them capability to manage the workflows and activities related to understanding that risk, managing it, recovering from it, and then closing the loop to circle back and avoid it.
Okay, great. Could you share a little bit of your background? Because now you are the CEO of RiskConnect, as we were talking about, but I would like to understand how did you get to be a CEO of RiskConnect? Because I know that you've been as well in IBM for a few years, then you've been a CEO in another company. So how was that journey that get you to what you're doing right now?
Sure. Unconventionally, I think, which I think a lot of CEOs would say, very few of them plan maybe to be that at the beginning of their career. I originally wanted to be an artist, but decided I liked income. And so pivoted to accounting of all things. So I got my journey started in the technology realm, really started in the financial function, which is a cool place to start because you get to see from a balance sheet and income statement everything a business does. And when you think about a business like IBM that's in software, hardware, services, consumer, industrial, defense, it's like you see a lot. And early in my career, I had the opportunity to lead large transformation projects. And some of my involvement and my biggest learnings coming from biggest failures were realizing that it wasn't technical that was usually the problem. It was around blind spots and things you didn't know. And in that, even before I had a concept of risk or came into the risk industry, I started to learn that risk didn't live in one area, right? It's in the seams between the decisions and no one really owns it unless you really perfect that handoff. And so over the course of time, that kind of ultimately led me to RiskConnect. And what I loved about it back in 2018, when I joined, and the vision back to the founders in 2007 when they started it, was they just wanted this platform to connect those seams so organizations can see, understand, and act faster. And it really resonated with me based upon the learnings I had through my career early on.
Great. So since we are talking a lot about risk, I would like you to define risk. What is risk for you?
I think risk in the context of a lot of our customers is how do they perform amidst uncertainty, right? Risk is really, there's a lot of different ways to quantify it. People think about different scoring matrices. They typically think about it in the realm of impact and probability, and that gives you this likely view or a score on risk. But what it really is around navigating the uncertainty of your decisions to the ultimate best performance against your missions or core values, right? How do you live your core values, achieve your mission amidst disruption and uncertainty? And that's managing risk. There are tons of different ways in which that gets done. And those controls that you put in place, am I managing the risk or am I transferring it? You think about insurance. Am I taking physical protections, virtual protections? Am I not taking decisions to avoid risk, or am I taking the decision and embracing that risk but best managing it? It's just such a multifaceted environment from there. But the heart of it is, how do I navigate this uncertainty?
Okay, so basically is the how to, yeah, just a summary, kind of how to navigate uncertainty, that's the risk part, right? Yeah. The most important question for any employee is, what should I be working on right now? What I should be doing instead of, because there's many things that you can be doing. So from the perspective of risk, what is your answer for this?
Yeah, so when we think about risk leaders or the clients that we serve, I think there's three or four things happening right now that I think are on a lot of their minds that they're trying to navigate their way through. One is, risk is converging. You can look across the market we serve and you can see people trying to build out these broad-based suites of different capabilities like we have or are. And that is this idea around, these risks are converging, right? They're centralizing in that way. The second thing is that the world is becoming more forward-looking and interested and capable of foresight rather than just historical retrospective views. And so how do I position myself in terms of understanding data, managing data, leveraging evolving technologies like AI to look forward and advise into what's going to happen based upon what has happened? And the third part is, and I think this is probably the most essential skill for risk leaders and thing for them to focus on, is how they're integrating to the organization. This is very much still a human business. It's very important that they establish trust and partnership inside the operations that they support. They're viewed as a business partner. They're involved in strategic decisions before the decision is taken, and then best ensuring how it gets executed post. But then they're also a partner to the back office of the business in terms of how you manage the finances of risk and how you conserve and protect cash and how you protect the brand and reputation. So there's a big change management, people management, human aspect to what they need to do that I don't know is always first and foremost in a risk leader's thought process about essential skills to develop. And I think those are the three things that they're really concentrating on right now.
Okay, you guys are focusing mostly on a critical task, using AI for critical task, right? How do you ensure that this system can prove its credibility to users? Because usually every company is using AI or AI agents to automate mundane repetitive tasks. But what you guys are doing is kind of risk, like very important things. So how do you ensure that credibility to your users?
Yeah, I think the thing that folks don't give a lot of appreciation to is that risk managed well is a very task-oriented business. There's a ton of workflow, mitigations, actions, follow-ups, notifications, communication. There's a huge element of efficiency that can come through AI. And the core kind of view on this is, AI isn't a black box. It's a workflow enhancer that automates the mundane and then elevates judgment. Everyone who's working with AI at this point talks about keeping the human in the loop, and that's critical. But there are elements, you just want the engine to work within the constraints or parameters for which you define for it. And so you can take a really specific flow. You can think of a claim or an incident report. AI reads it, classifies it, extracts causes, predicts potential severity before a human even opens it, right? So before I've even viewed the claim as an adjuster or as a claims manager, I have an understanding of it, a predicted severity. I know how low or high to elevate this within my workflows. And I might even have a predicted, forecasted financial impact of reserve, an automated generated reserve. I know what it could mean to the business, both in human capital and in cash. Then AI recommends the next actions, maybe alerting a regional safety lead or adjusting those reserves or notifying folks responsible for the physical controls or that particular asset or property. For risk managers, what that means is spending a lot less time collecting data and more time connecting that insight to decisions and action. And there are dozens and dozens of tasks oriented with that. So it's a co-pilot, to use a very typical AI term at this point, that shortens that distance between awareness and action. And we can see examples today in our clients. One client has reduced the triage time of their incoming incidents by 60% by using AI-driven intake. And that same staff, just smarter focus. And those are really practical ways in which this is changing it. yes, risk is strategic, and there's an element of that that's important, and you want to use predictive elements of AI to help chart where things could go, I still need to take the decision on where I believe they will go. And then I need AI to help with guide what would be the tasks or actions I would take, and then assist, go do them, the agentic aspect of it. And that's, at least for us and Risk Connect, what we put into our overall intelligent risk framework that encompasses analytics, AI, and task management to go and execute these pieces.
Okay. AI is often seen as a replacing lower level workers, but for what I understood what you guys are doing, do you replace also managers with AI?
I don't think we view, at least in our environment, that we're seeing AI replace jobs at this point within risk. I think there's obviously a do more with same mentality related to AI as a business grows through merger and acquisition, as they take on new lines of business, they open new regions, they do new things. How can I manage the expanding level of incidents or expanding risk with a continued efficient risk team is certainly a focus. But the core thing we spend a lot of time talking to folks around is how the risk leaders are using pattern recognition in this data to shift their expertise and focus rather than reduce it or remove it. They're moving from this action in managing spreadsheets and updating forms and the things that took their time. They're not threatened by that stuff getting replaced because they're curious about what the machine sees that they don't. And then what their experience, their knowledge of the business, their relationships that they have inside the business mean in terms of how they actually manifest the change associated with those emerging risk indicators. Somebody still has to move the business. And AI inherently on its own isn't going to do that. It's going to surface the insights that you use to move the business. So this isn't yet around true resource arbitrage as much as strategic refocus. And that's where I think a lot of the attention is right now, today anyway.
Okay, understood. So well, we talk a lot about risk leaders. So my question is, how has AI changed the way that you think about what makes someone good at managing risk?
Yeah, I think I mentioned a couple of these points, data fluency, analytical capability, being able to surface leading indicators and translate them to impacts and actions, I think it is super critical. But frankly speaking, maybe you don't need to be as good as you used to be around a pivot table and merging multiple Excel files and navigating SharePoint as you do about actually applying risk frameworks to prioritize and manage risk effectively. And that's the big piece to me. The hardest part isn't the tech, I don't think. It's unlearning our old models and way of thinking and changing that mindset. That's the real challenge. AI is the most powerful resilience tool we've ever had. That's great. But it's also our most unpredictable kind of threat. And so helping us see without fear the possibility, both inside our business and inside the risk function, but then harness that to go make the change. Those examples are the things where I think tomorrow's risk function thrives. And the new skills they have to bring is around interpreting data and insights at velocity to take decisions rapidly and to communicate them effectively. That's a lot of what this becomes.
Because what we are talking about threats, right? How AI, like we, as the CEO of the company Risk Connect, you guys detect threats, but it also creates new ones when you are detecting them. But how are the opportunities that when you detect these threats, what are the opportunities as in the same? I don't know if I'm being clear.
Yeah, sure. Now, AI has a double edge, right? We believe and embrace it, and we're putting it into our products as a force multiplier. It magnifies your opportunity to manage risk, but it's also magnifying risk at the same time. And so there's a balance there. But we've seen automation have a measurable impact. It's saving risk teams hundreds of hours a quarter in preparing their risk assessments, in their coverage of how many risks across how much of the business, and mapping their controls effectively, and making sure that they don't have redundant controls. There's all this inefficiency that we've built up in these different frameworks and approaches across three lines that AI is helping tease out the optimal and optimized path through that. And a big part of that is then prioritizing our initiatives, right? Value, viability, and mission in terms of what we're trying to do organizationally. The important thing is to inventory AI, to understand its impact to the business, where it's driving most value, document and govern it appropriately. And over time, this will normalize in it, a risk like any other risk. But today, because of it, it's an unconstrained model, because we don't understand its limitations or its constraints, because we don't have effective governance across the organization where it's being used. In a lot of cases, it's probably being used and we don't know it is. We've got to get our hands around that to properly harness it in the organization. And we're going to do that. The winners are going to have measurable impact from it. They're going to implement it responsibly, and it's going to align with their purpose and their mission. And that's the core of what the risk function's job is in terms of removing that uncertainty.
Are there any companies or leaders that you admire in this field of risk management?
I think you can look at a lot of different organizations that I think hold up a standard of living their values and best managing risks. And I think where you find them is you find them in the upper right quartile of performance inside of their chosen domains. If you look at the leaders in given segments, leading pharmaceutical companies, leading retail companies, leading manufacturer companies, what they are doing consistently well, because we're all in the same environment of uncertainty, of increased climate threats, of geopolitical environment, of tariffs, whatever those things might be, each of their peers are in that same environment. But the leading organizations are somehow finding a way to perform consistently through that disruption. And that's where you always tease out the stories of folks that did have that cyber attack. And a lot of these are high profile or written about, but didn't lose share value, didn't have a material impact to consumers, were able to contain the loss in terms of data, and their recovery time was short and the amplitude of their impact was low. And anytime you see examples of those kinds of organizations with very public-facing manifestations of risk that are able to get through it resiliently, you can't leave but impressed with the way they managed it. And you usually see a consistency. Their communication is clear. It's transparent. They acknowledge to the market what's happening. They are clear on timelines and mitigations. They're authentic with employees. And then they're determined in what their next steps are. And those are always the leaders I look to and try to emulate when you think about how you adjust to unpredictability in your business.
Great. Jim, what does responsible AI look like from a risk management perspective?
I think it has a few core tenets for sure. One is it's aligned with your core values, right? You're living your core values. Two, it itself has guiding principles in terms of how you ensure that it's ethically deployed, that you're managing it for bias, that it is secure and protected on your most important and critical and confidential data, that its outcomes and outcome-driven orientation is predictable in terms of its accuracy, right? You've got to test, you've got to audit. You start with clarity and visibility and transparency, and then you move to impact and efficiency, right? That's the last third piece, is that it's driving real measurable impact. And I think organizations that are thinking about it, in that way, it becomes a lot like any other technology that you're deploying. It should be making me better. It should be something where I understand its risk inherently and I can inventory that. AI is just a bit different because it's one of the few technologies we can use that can't be reduced to the sum of its parts. You put this data in, you have AI, you expect this data out, but A plus B doesn't necessarily equal C, because it can come up with outcomes that were non-predicted based upon how it grows, what information it's consuming. So you constantly have to test against it to understand the variability of what's happening to make sure that you are achieving the original goal you had. And I think there's the leading organizations that are harnessing best are putting in place mature AI governance models and approaches and systems to do those things, to inventory it, to document it, to test it, and to manage it as a specific risk.
All right. At the beginning of our interview, you mentioned that we should keep people at the center of AI adoption. So how do you cultivate that culture at Risk Connect?
I think we try to manage, I guess, an idea around that in a way in which we manage by strength at Risk Connect. And if I think about myself, I'm a connector and pioneer. That's what I bring to the table in terms of try to innovate and bring together these different pieces of either technology we built and people we have or companies we've acquired to best deliver. For us, we look at it as how do we harness those skills and strengths into the future. And a lot of that, I think, in the future of risk belongs to integrators, people who can connect risk data and decision making, right, and tie that together. Tomorrow's leaders outside, so in our customers, need data literacy. They need to move fluidly between technology and boardrooms, and they need to know that risk is not about control, it's about context. You can take that same mirror and you can put it on Risk Connect. We've got four core values. One is Spark, that's a bias towards action. Another is Pioneer, that's this idea around innovating, not just for the sake of innovation, but cultivating it over time. Another core value is Focus, that's do what we say we're going to do. And then the last is Community, that's support the teammates around us and our clients. And in a lot of cases, that means we need information literacy and context about what our clients are doing. We need systems thinking in terms of how our clients are delivering value to their organizations. We need to move fluidly between our technology and their context of what they're doing. And 10 years ago, inside of a company like Risk Connect, it was about only technology and feature and function. Now it's about context and outcome. And that's when you are a software as a service business where every client gets to renew their relationship with you over time. You have to, in today's cost pressures and competitive environment, you have to continually prove those outcomes and value. And that's the way I think Risk Connect's colleagues are oriented towards elevating that client experience. And if the client's winning, we're winning. And I think that's a culture we've developed here.
Okay. So, looking ahead, since we were already talking a bit about future, how AI will continue to transform the role of risk leaders, the risk leaders?
I think it's about delivering empowerment, right? So it's driving activity because you have the right data at the right time to provide the right insight, not over mandates. The history of a lot of risk activities were in the policy, right? They were in compliance to the policy. I evaluate these different things. I look to change behavior by documenting how I would like you to behave. And then I test to see if you are actually living to the controls or the compliance of the policy that I set. I don't think that's how organizations scale. I don't think that's how they succeed in the long term. They succeed by creating an environment of empowerment and trust that people are going to know the right thing to do because it's aligned to the strategy. And it's living inside the risk tolerance and appetite as governed by our values. And that's a lot to say on a word. You can't put that on a PowerPoint page or hang that on the wall and people are going to know what to do. But what they will know what to do is if you involve teams early in what good looks like, if you bring them around the table to align strategy with KPIs and then KPIs to key risk indicators and track and show and transparently manage those things, you can utilize that to remove friction, not authority, and engage with the organization. And this is about being back to being a partner with the operations of the business. So I think that future of that risk leader is somebody who inherently really understands what the company does, how they do it, what the on-the-ground experience is in delivering the product or service that organization delivers, and then maps how risk supports that. I think our history has been a lot more the other way. You're going to map to my risk process, and there will be this constant translation back and forth to what compliance looks like regulatory-wise or corporate-wise against some sort of esoteric framework. And then you go manage your business, but you've got to constantly check back and forth, where I think tomorrow it's going to be more seamless, and the business will operate inside of a governance that is more integrated and more fluid to the context of how the business works. And the risk leaders that I think achieve the most for their organizations will understand that context.
Okay. What are the main skills that they will need to succeed? Because you said a little bit how it works, but it can be technical or risk management skills or like human skills. But if you could choose three, which ones?
Data analytics, understand data, be able to read information, understand and inherently know how to manipulate data. Financial acumen, understand the ins and outs of the profit and loss of a business unit, a business line, a product, a service, but what makes it tick from the shareholder or stakeholder lens in change management. If you have those three things, I think you're extremely well positioned to make an impact and ultimately be a leader within a risk function.
Great. Thanks, Jim. So we already covered a little bit of the leaders and risk leaders, but do you have any advice for the new people who are entering in this field? Anything you would like to share?
Sure. It's related to those three points, I think, a little bit. Tomorrow's risk leaders are going to have data literacy. They're going to understand systems thinking, how the whole box comes together, and they're going to be great at telling stories. And they're going to be able to move fluidly between the technology they use to support that and the boardroom in which they're giving input. 10 years ago, it was about control. Today, it's context. So I think those are things that, you know, that they should be thinking about and stop treating risk as something to minimize, but more as an opportunity to optimize. And that's a lot of buzzwords kind of contained in that those two sentences. But it's that kind of growth mindset that I think is really important and turns from more reactive protection identification versus how do I really help my business grow? And I think that's, if I were starting out as a new person in risk, just coming into it, I think that's the best way to have an impact quickly.
Great. Thanks. Thank you very much for the chat. Thank you very much for your time, Jim.
That was great. Thank you, Flora.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.